For weeks, Russia has been hammering Ukraine from the air.
We turned out of the war in Ukraine and new Russian missile and drone attacks taking out power plants across Ukraine.
Four buildings in the capital hit. There are also reports of casualties in other Ukrainian cities and towns.
Wave of deadly drone strikes which targeted the capital and cities in the eastern Sumy region.
Another major attack on Kyiv. This time the capital hit with explosive drones. According to President...
Drones. Ukrainian officials estimate that Russia has launched more than 300 drone attacks in recent weeks, inflicting major destruction across the country.
It's very, critical situation when in winter we might have a huge humanitarian crisis. It is unfolding. People don't receive medical care, hospitals shut down. Now we made makeshift power stations for people to charge phones and to heat themselves. So all this was done with the help, very significant help of these particular drones.
That's Olena Tregub, who runs a nonprofit that's currently working with the Ukrainian military. They're trying to figure out the answer to a question. Where is Russia getting its drones? Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, November 28th. Coming up on the show, the complicated origins of Russia's drones.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
After Russia launched its invasion of Ukraine, Western nations hit back with heavy sanctions aimed at stifling Russia's economy and crippling its military.
Russia is an isolated country right now.
That's our colleague Ian Talley.
The Western sanctions, you're talking about two-thirds of the global economy that have joined this, and much of the world's most advanced technology, computer chips, lasers, etc., is derived from the West. And so when the West shuts a country off from finance, global finance, and exports and trade, then it directly affects Russia's ability to fund itself and to build the weapons of war that it needs to prosecute the war in Ukraine.
So when Ukrainian officials noticed Russia launching attack drones earlier this year, they were surprised because Russia isn't known for being able to make those models. What kind of drones are we talking about here?
We're not talking about the small ones that you see people flying at the beach and up in the mountains and doing...
That will deliver our Amazon packages?
Exactly. They're not that. They're much larger. They can carry four bombs. You know, it's a big device that can, with four bombs, you can do a lot of damage.
The Ukrainian military and Western officials suspected that the drones were coming from Iran. In the last decade, Iran has developed one of the most powerful drone programs in the world, and it has used its drones in hundreds of attacks around the Middle East.
The Russians said, no, these aren't Iranian drones, even though the Western officials were talking about the delivery of these drones and the concern about the Iranian drones because there had been a budding, building relationship between Tehran and Moscow. But both Moscow and Tehran officials said that, no, these aren't Iranian, these are Russian.
So the Ukrainian military wanted to get proof that Iran was supplying Russia with drones. And getting that proof wasn't easy, because many of these are kamikaze drones, meaning they blow up on impact. But recently, the Ukrainians got a break in trying to understand where the drones came from.
The military intelligence was able to hack one of these more sophisticated attack drones, surveillance and missile deploying drones, hack it and then fly it and land it intact.
And how were the Ukrainians able to figure out that the drones were actually from Iran?
The Iranian drones are a particular models that have particular characteristics developed by the Iranians. That's one of the ways in which they can be identified. But when the Ukrainian military intelligence disassembled them, I mean, when you have a modem that has a piece of electrical tape, and on the electrical tape is somebody writing "this way up" in Farsi, it makes it difficult to believe President Putin that these, in fact, are Russian drones, just because they have Cyrillic writing on them and a new lick of paint and call them something different.
A Kremlin spokesperson said the Russian army used only domestically produced equipment. Earlier this month, Iran's foreign minister acknowledged the country had supplied drones to Russia, but said the transfer happened before the invasion of Ukraine. U.S. officials dispute that claim. One big reason it was surprising that these drones came from Iran is the fact that for decades, Iran has been under strict sanctions by the West. Those sanctions were put in place to curtail its military power, and yet Iran has still been able to produce these drones.
Especially for the Europeans, it's been a bit of a wake-up call, I would say. So not only are you feeling the threat of Western democracy from the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, you also have a pariah state that is selling its expertise, and that's a threat to the U.S. as well.
But the story got even more complicated when Ukrainian analysts looked at the parts in several of the drones they captured. One of the organizations conducting that analysis is called NACO. It's run by Olena Tregu, who we heard from earlier. She spoke to us from Dublin last week. How central are these drones to Russia's attacks now in Ukraine?
They are very central. These drones helped Russia to essentially inflict serious damage on Ukrainian critical infrastructure. These drones are used in combination with missiles, with Russian missiles. Why they mean so much to us, to Ukrainians? Because, you know, as we speak, these drones are hitting some buildings in Dnipro, in Kiev region. Their people are get hurt, killed. And, you know, it's something which is very personal.
And are these drones more destructive or more effective than ballistic missiles?
Well, they are completely different kind of weapon. It is very inexpensive comparing to ballistic missile that can cost, $100,000, depending on which one. This drone, Shahed, for example, it costs only around $10,000. And also, the complexity for Ukraine is that in order to shoot down this drone, this $10,000 drone, we need to use, say, a missile weapon, which is several times, 10 times more expensive, which is also not very sustainable. And that's why those drones are effective, unfortunately.
NACO's been working with the Ukrainian military to deconstruct the drones. What they found is that a lot of the components Iran uses aren't from Iran, but from the U.S. And what was your reaction when you discovered that some of these components came from the U.S.?
I would say not some, but majority of the component. That was surprising to us, and especially, you know, politically, you know, how Iran speaks about the United States, and at the same time, they procure majority of the components from U.S. for their weapons. It's just mind-blowing.
That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. If you're like most people, you've had your fair share of financial questions. Questions like, will you be able to afford a third kid? Will you be able to do everything you want when you retire? What if you outlive your savings? Empower knows these questions can be stressful, so they're here to help answer your what-ifs and empower what's next. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future. Tap the banner to learn more or visit empower.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Russia is using two types of drones in Ukraine. Both are big, gray, and triangle-shaped, and they have Russian Cyrillic writing on the outside. But when the Ukrainian military and Olena's team took them apart, the insides of these drones told a different story. Inside, they found Iranian writing, and they found clues on the origins of other individual parts.
We saw serial numbers are erased, and some are not erased. Some just says made in Japan. So, and also some have serial numbers where you can actually trace the whole supply chain if you have the serial number. So they did, I would say, like so-so job in trying to hide the origin of those drones and the origin of the components of those drones.
According to a NACO report reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, roughly half those components were made by firms based in the U.S. Nearly a third were from companies in Japan, and some were from companies in Germany and Israel.
Those weapons may be for some companies who did not do their due diligence in tracking their end user. Maybe it's just business, but for victims of aggression, those are big things, they are symbolic things, and that's why, of course, there is such huge interest among Ukrainian think tanks to study those drones, to understand how we can stop this, how we can stop Iran and Russia to be able to procure all the components they need for their weapons that they are using against us.
Ian asked those companies how their parts ended up in Iranian drones. They either declined to comment or weren't able to confirm the parts' origins.
These companies said they don't sell into Iran. They abide by the laws of the U.S. They abide by international laws, and they don't sell into Iran.
In some cases, these companies sell to third-party distributors. One company told Ian that without access to the device itself, they can't say whether it's legitimate or counterfeit, and how it ended up, where it ended up.
Tracking each and every item to its end use is extremely difficult. It's kind of like knowing who drank Coke, right? The Coke is sold by the manufacturer. It goes to a distributor. The distributor sells it to a retail store, and then somebody comes in and gets the Coke. I mean, how are they supposed to know? There's no law against a computer chip being sold to somebody in Dubai. Well, if a intermediary buys computer chips from an American company or an infrared lens from an Israeli company, how is the seller supposed to know that ultimately that trader is going to ship it to Iran?
Ian reached out to the governments where the components originated from. An Israeli spokeswoman said the government is reviewing the findings. A spokesman for the Japanese government said Tokyo will continue to exercise strict export control to prevent the diversion of Japanese products and technologies for military use. The German embassy didn't comment. A senior U.S. Commerce Department official declined to comment on any particular situation, but said, quote, "The proliferation of weapons into Ukraine for their use against Ukrainian people is a top priority." And Ian, talked to industry officials who said the U.S. agency in charge of export controls, the Bureau of Industry and Security, has launched an investigation.
Their agents have been calling up some of the companies that produce these components and saying, okay, let's see your orders. Let's see where did you sell these particular chips with these particular serial numbers? Who did you sell them to? What due diligence did you do to determine who was going to be the buyer? I think there are also questions being asked by lawmakers about what more can be done to restrict the export of components that could be used against the U.S. and its allies.
So does the mere existence of these drones show the weakness of sanctions?
I think it shows the limitations. So under the Trump administration, more sanctions were levied than any time in modern history. And that's partly because Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, ordered sanctions, and because there was this general policy view that sanctions are the go-to foreign policy tool to secure U.S. interests. It was an easy place to go to, but it's not a silver bullet. It doesn't always work, as these drones show.
Earlier this month, the U.S. Treasury sanctioned several individuals and companies from Iran, Russia, and United Arab Emirates. It said they are responsible for the production and transfer of Iranian drones used by Russia in Ukraine. Meanwhile, Olena's organization is trying to shut down the supply of parts that end up in these Iranian drones.
We want to answer questions clearly where those parts are coming from so that we identify companies. We are now in correspondence with many companies, and some will be collaborating with us to investigate who sold those parts to Iran. And all these things, they need to be done, of course, not by NGOs, but by governments, by U.S. government. And there is sense of urgency here because we are being bombed by these drones right now. So there is urgency to stop it now.
That's all for today, Monday, November 28th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Arezou Egbeli, Dion Nissenbaum, and Benoit Faucon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.